We take you now to the home of Newt and Ponge, two unemployed cow shearing champions and potato mechanics, for another episode of What's On?
Hey, Newt, what's on?
I don't know, Ponch. I'm powerful busy. Now, don't bother me.
Yeah, what are you doing? Hey, you're not putting the sidewalk in the garage again, are you?
Well, I ain't. What if I was? Don't you want the sidewalk to start in the morning, don't you? It'll be cold if I leave it out.
You're so stupid. You don't have to put the sidewalk in the garage.
You don't?
Nope. See, I took the battery out and put it in the garage.
You're so clever, Ponch. Well, hey, take a look at this, though. I've been counting the walls.
What for?
Well, see how many we got.
Well, how many we got?
Well, more than enough to go around. We got three.
Three?
Yeah.
We only got three walls?
Well, one for you, one for me, and we got a guest wall in case any old ladies from the Middle East want to come in and wail by it.
Aw, Newt, why would any old lady from the Middle East want to wail at our wall?
To hold her pants up, of course.
Oh.
But it don't matter, see, because last time I heard from her, she was down to a pack a day.
Oh.
And she joined this Indian tribe because she always wanted to see Paris.
Newt.
But they'd all switched to economy cars.
Newt.
What you want, Ponch? You look kind of sick there.
Newt.
What's on, Ponch?
Oh, Newt, I'm so glad you asked me what's on.
What's on?
I'm looking. Here's your TV index right here, Newt.
Oh, boy.
You sit down, Newt. You need to sit down for a while.
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
Let's see here.
Straight.
How's this sound here?
Oh,
74 million is enough. A part-time plumber marries a Punjab courtesan, and laughter erupts when the entire subcontinent of India moves into his basement apartment.
Oh, same thing happened to me back in 43. It bring back rough memories.
Let's see what else is on there.
Wow.
How about grumpy days?
Oh, yeah, I like
see what
that
happened
one.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Fonzie. Fonz gets tanked up because Richie totals his chopper, and Fonz does some cutting on Richie with a switchblade. First of two parts.
Oh, no, I don't watch. I can't remember, Steve, from one week to the next what happened.
Oh, well, never mind.
My grade school teacher, now, she told me I had a bad memory. What was her name?
Yeah, she told me that last week, Newt.
Yeah, I knew.
Newt, I'm going to go tie some of these gophers to the railroad tracks here.
Oh, okay, so I'll just stay here and play with it. I'm going to play with the parakeet, Ponch.
Hey, Newt, wait. We ain't got a parakeet.
Sure we do. Here, old Tom. I'm going to let him out of his cage here. And
Newt, you don't mean that bobcat what's been killing all the dogs in the neighborhood, do you?
That ain't no bobcat. That's Tom. There you are, Tom. Pretty birdie.
Newt,
pretty
that thing's a killer.
Pretty birdie.
Get off my shoulder.
It's a parakeet, Ponch. I know, because it keeps messing up the newspaper I put in his cage now. Let's all sing like the birdie sing. Now, can you try that? Can you try that, Tom? Can you just... Please, Polly, want a leg of lamb?
We'll be back next week for more of What's On. Meanwhile, girls, here's a simple way to avoid retaining water without dieting. Spit it out. We'll be back next week for more of What's On. Meanwhile, girls, here's a simple way to avoid retaining water without dieting. Spit it out.
Quiet.
In August of 1970, the greatest entity in rock and roll history dissolved itself. The Beatles broke up. After riding a wave of popularity realized by few others in the history of entertainment, John, Paul, George, and Ringo cited personality conflicts, artistic disagreements, and business problems for the demise of the act we'd known for all those years. The music world was stunned. The collapse of the Fab Four left a void, an emptiness, a vacuum that was soon filled by the likes of Alice Cooper, the Ramones, David Bowie, Peter Frampton, John Denver, and Debbie Boone. The music world is still stunned. Why were the Beatles so important, so irreplaceable? What exactly did they mean to us? Why is it essential to bring them back now? We took our Midnight Mondo microphones out on the street to find out.
The Beatles? Wow, man, those were the days, huh? You know, they weren't exactly like brothers to me, you know, or even good friends, you know? They were like, how can I put this, man? They were four incredibly wealthy young musicians that I would never meet. Want a jelly bean?
The Beatles? Oh, yeah. I went down to City Hall one day to pay my vehicle tax, and there was a movie theater across the street with A Hard Night or A Bad Day or something like that. All these kids, all over.
Hey, Bobby, close your truck.
When I came outside, my car was vandalized. Oh, man, I don't know what these kids are doing. I mean, geez, wow, man.
We're talking to Frankie Valli. Frankie, what did the Beatles mean to you?
The Beatles. The Beatles wiped us out. You know, we went from 1964 to 1975 without a hit record.
Long stretch.
I'm a little bitter. Because this song was a bad idea to begin with.
Well, you know what I think is? Well, the Beatles spoke not only to the sensibility of the 60s, but also, you know what I think is that their unique polyphonic approach to rock and roll, the totality of their synergy, you know, which though, you know, through their music, it expanded on their vocal, well, who are we talking about? Oh, look, I've sat down on my Braunschweiger.
Yeah, I was living on a little commune, you know, and we were all in the Beatles, and who wasn't, right? But the White Album really did it to me. Like Blackbird, I thought, yeah, the blacks are really oppressed. And well, when I heard Helter Skelter, I knew. Man, I knew the pigs had to go!
All right, Charlie, Mr. Manson, time's up. Let's go. Bye, Charlie.
I wanted to go. Where's Squiggy? I wanted to...
Since that black day in August in 1970, promoters the world over have sought to reunite the Beatles. They have offered sums of money huge enough to subsidize Jackie Onassis' next divorce. The Beatles have been offered dictatorships of small countries, guest spots on Dick Clark's Live Wednesday, a congressional typist, and all the jelly beans in the world. But all offers were refused. We at Midnight Mondo were aware of all this when last spring we held a clandestine meeting with Alan Klein and Linda Eastman McCartney at a Mr. Donut off Highway 58 in Calabogie, Ontario. You know it. We knew the Beatles could not be bought by power, sex, or money. We knew they would not regroup out of a sense of history or pity or nostalgia. We would have to resort to different tactics. I can't reveal our final solution, but in the weeks of tortuous negotiations that followed that initial meeting, we logged 400,000 miles in the air, our phone bill for August was over $10,000, and hospitals throughout the Midwest are facing a shortage of chlorpromazine, that's Thorazine. Our efforts were rewarded 2 weeks ago in a seedy motel in East Moline, Illinois. It was the first meeting with all four Beatles present. We had to use psychology, some may say threats, to bring it all together. When they came to the next morning, their signatures were on the contract. And if there is one thing the Beatles understand, it's the bottom line. We have them. The Beatles. Together again. Live on Midnight Mondo.
I want somebody to love.
For years, it's been a dream. For years, it's been a rumor. For years, it's been the hope of millions. Now, it's a reality at long last. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, the Beatles, come together. Together, at long last. The Beatles come together one last time, live on the only stage that could hold their force. The Beatles, live at the Grand Canyon, August 14th, 1979. Step into your dream. Believe. The Beatles come together, live at the Grand Canyon, the only place big enough to hold the sound that bent history. The Beatles come together, August 14th, 1979. The Beatles.
Only 1 million tickets will be sold. All tickets, $100. Camping permits not included.
This is Nigel Frank, and I'm high above the Arizona desert, and this hot, what promises to me a hot August day, and I'm simply overwhelmed by what I'm seeing. I don't think that George Bernard Shaw at the peak of his reasoning powers can really convey what I'm seeing here below me as my news crew and I hover over this desert landscape, this empty, normally empty desert landscape, and we see a stream of people all the way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Arizona has turned into a vast parking lot. As the sun broke over the Mesa Mianne this morning, it revealed the mass of humanity on the move to the Grand Canyon. Yes, the Grand Canyon, a natural monument, a monument to the power of nature. But this today, it's not natural, it's unnatural. It's a monument to the power of the Beatles. And Beatlemanias, they've rejoined finally together, and all their fans, their crazed fans, are coming right now to the Grand Canyon. My Lord. The helicopter stopped. We're falling now. Oh, my Lord.
Hello. Here we are. People. People. Ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, live, the most awesome concert ever presented. A concert that could only happen at the Grand Canyon! Today and tonight, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Simon and Garfunkel, the Jefferson Airplane with Grace Slick, the Sex Pistols, the Supremes, the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, The Who, Lily Tomlin, and finally, the event of the century, John
from the burning helicopter over there.
People, I have some announcements now. Leave the Indians alone, they won't hurt you. Please, listen up. First, we're out of water, and they say it's going to get up to 103 again today.
Please rain.
Serve your voices, people. It's going to get rough out here. Also, please don't fool around with the diamondback creatures. They've been going back and forth on the canyon floor. They're rattlesnakes. They're a downer. I've just been told also our portable washrooms have not shown up yet, but don't worry. We're going to get an airdrop. Should only be another 15 hours, so try to hold it, please. Are you ready? Are you ready out there? Ladies and gentlemen,